Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Stand back up, because we stand for the reading of God's word. Darren taught on giving your tithes. Now you will give your thighs. Up and down, up and down. Some of y'all don't know this story, so I got to tell it. We went to a church that they sat down and stood up a lot during the service. Not us. We just make you stand the whole service just about. But we was up and down, up and down. And Ian had made some money mowing grass, and he had set aside the money, and he said, "Dad, tonight I want to give my thighs." I said, "Don't worry. You will at this church." So we were up and down a lot. But we taught him what tithes were, not thighs. But anyway, Ezra 3, verse 10. "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men," say they were old, "that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout, the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off." You can go ahead and be seated. We've taught on this before, but I really feel compelled to reiterate this today and revisit it. The children of Israel were in bondage for 70 years, and they were in bondage in Babel. And a young man born of that time, his name is Zerubbabel. We say Zerubbabel. Zeru meaning born, Babel, he was born in Babel. And God chose him to do a mighty work, and he chose him to build the temple. Solomon's temple had been destroyed, and he chose him to build the temple. So Zerubbabel, born in Babel, comes out to build a temple. He was born in bondage. He was born in the place where they were bound. And God chooses him to build the temple. Now, this is why I'm not God. Because if I was God, I would have chose one of the ancient dudes that had seen the other temple. At least they would know the pattern. At least they would know what it should look like. At least they had an idea. But Zerubbabel, being born in Babel, really didn't know what the other temple looked like. But God chooses him to build the temple. So he gets started, and the foundation is laid, and it's time for celebration. I can relate to this. I cannot wait till the foundation is laid. I will shout personally. And he gets this foundation in, and the people begin to rejoice. And let me tell you this. Sometimes when it's time for you to rejoice, not everybody is going to be excited about what you're excited about. Sometimes God does things in your life, And you really feel like that everybody should be excited for you, and not everybody is as excited as you are for what God's doing in your life. You ever been there? I can remember being excited about revival, and I was preaching revivals, a lot of revivals. sometimes 16 nights in a row, revivals. I'm preaching it and going here, there, and preaching. And man, I'm just excited about revival. I love revival. And I'm talking to this pastor that I'm preaching revival for, and he said, yeah, it's pretty good right now, but it'll all fizzle out. What? Huh? Well, why are we doing this then? Well, it's exciting for a moment, but then it just gets back down to just... And I was like, man, you talking about letting the air out of my balloon. I was so excited about revival. And after that, I started thinking. I was like, well, he's kind of right. Because you have revival and everybody's yay. And then they're all tired because their house is a mess because they had to come to church every night. And they're all aggravated because they have to be here. And then after the revival's over, like, well, finally, we can get some rest. Anybody ever been there? And it totally messed me up for revival for a long time. But then I learned that revival is not seven nights of services and ham salad on Sunday. Revival is a state of your spirit. And whether you're in church or not, there is a revival that burns in you because the life of God lives in you. And I don't have to be in church every night to have God reviving me and renewing me and restoring me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You can have personal revival when somebody else is not excited about Jesus. I'm still excited about him. I know where he brought me from. They get the foundation built. Everybody's excited. Then comes the ancient dudes. It said ancient men. And they make it out to the service. And let me tell you, I appreciate the elder that I have in my life. Now I want to say that again. Man, I appreciate Brother Eddie. I know he's my father-in-law, but he's my elder. And you know what's amazing about him? He's more excited about Jesus than some young people. But these guys make it to the foundation celebration day. And man, they're praising. They said, you know what? Get the Levites out here the way David did it. You know the way David took the priest and made them worship around that tent? But he said, bring the Levites out here and get them worshiping. And the Levites come out and they're supposed to be the priests and the sacrificers. And they're out there playing trumpets and just shouting around. Get them out here the way David did it. Man, I got to read. Can I have just a second right here? In the book of Acts, it says that God will rebuild the tabernacle of David. And again, if I was God, I would rebuild the Solomon temple, or I'd rebuild Zerubbabel's temple. But no, all David had was a tent. And he said, that's the one I want to rebuild. I want to put, because what David did is let the sides up on the tent, put the Ark of the Covenant in there, got the Levites around it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They were singing praises and there was no curtain. Let me tell you what God wants to build. He wants to build a place where we come and worship him and there's no obstruction, where we come and we get in his presence and there's nothing between us and them. God said, that's the tabernacle that I want to rebuild. Let me tell you what, God's not in to all the finer things. He's into relationship. But let's be honest. How many people in here have been in church for over 25 years? Raise your hand. Raise it high so I can see you. 30? Keep your hand up. 30 years I've been going to church. Church has changed a lot. Church had, well, let me say that. How many people in here had your parents make you go to church when you was a kid? Everybody, just about everybody. A lot of parents give their kids choices now. Here's the problem, and let me preach on you. Here's the problem with that. You give them the choice, let me tell you what they're going to pick. They're going to pick staying home because they're heathens. They were born heathens. It's your job to parent them and show them the right way. Listen, this is important. Because what's going to happen is you give them that choice and they're out in sin. And then you call me up and say, oh, Lord, he's a mess. Let's pray. I need you to pray. Can you pray? I'm saying I could have preached out of him what we're trying to pray out of him if you'd have had him in the house of God where he needed to be. Be careful, preacher. You're meddling. No, I'm telling you, we got to raise up kids in the way they should go because they don't know the way they should go. Total side note. They are excited, but the old men begin to weep loud because they looked at the temple and it wasn't lining up with what they had seen before. Oh, Solomon's temple was amazing. The queen came to view Solomon's temple and she made this statement: the half has not been told. She heard about it. I got to go check this out. It was so amazing. She said, the half has not been told. This place is awesome. And so they had recognized that. And then they seen this new foundation, a new foundation, and they weren't excited about it. Let me tell you where we get in trouble. When we look back to the way things used to be. You know how many times I have heard in my Christian walk from older people? Well, we used to. Well, we used to. Well, we, anybody? Anybody ever heard that? From an old saint? We used to. I had a lady tell me that so much. I was young. I was a little fiery. And she looked at me and said, we used to do this and we used to do that. And I said, well, why'd you stop? She said, we used to pray with the elders. I said, well, we would too if you would pray. I repented. It was smart aleck. I know it was. But we used to, we used to, we used to. Sometimes we get caught in yesterday and we're not effective today. Man, this is so important. I figured this out a long time ago. I think I could worship anywhere. I said, I think I could worship anywhere. Tracy's trying to pick out a song today. I said, how about How Great Thou Art? She's like, you want that one? I said, I want that one. Sing that. Sing How Great Thou. Remember, anybody raised in a Baptist church where we used to sing hymns all the time? Come on, raise your hand. Y'all know I talk about it. Johnny said, nope. Everything was a hymn. Everything was a hymn. I went to a Baptist church that had a little choir. It was upbeat for me, man. I still remember the songs. I still sing them sometimes when I'm by myself. And I sing them like the guy that sang them because it's the only way I know to sing them. You too? Do you do that? Do you run around going, wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, greater Lord than all my sin and shame, higher than a mountain flowing like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. For even me. But you know what I can do? I can worship to that right there. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin and shame. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? It doesn't have to be anything new for me to worship. It don't have to be elevation or any of that other stuff. As long as you are singing about Jesus, I figured out it's worth worshiping over. Tracy gets aggravated. I found heavy metal hymns. That's a thing. Has anyone ever heard them? Yeah, look around. Look at her and all these hippies in here. Yeah. How many of them like them? Look around. Look around. They rip it. They jam. And they're singing about the old rugged cross. I figured out, as long as you're singing about Jesus, I don't really care the riff behind it. Just sing the truth of Jesus. So the younger people are excited about what's going on, and the older people were upset because the older people, at these couple of old guys, had an attitude of, we want to go back to the way it was. Here's the problem. You can't recreate one service if you tried. If we tried to recreate last week's service, we're not going to be able to do it. So there's something really important in here. You ready? Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. Who was left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Could you imagine that comment? Man, I'm really excited about what God's doing. That ain't nothing. Man, that's tough. Man, God's doing great things in our assembly. That ain't nothing. You should have seen the way it used to be. What's the key? What's the ticket? Hey, listen, I got to throw this out there at you. The ministry team in this church signed a consecration contract with each other. And there's several things on there you got to do, but there's one thing that everybody's struggling with. And we're texting each other about it. And you know what it is? You're not allowed to speak evil of anybody for 30 days. Listen, I want to warn you. We're trying this out on the ministry team. Then we're going to do it church-wide. Everybody's like, well, let me know what day we sign that. I ain't coming. I had somebody tell me yesterday. They went to say something. They went, I'll tell you next month. You know what? I'll just tell you next month. Consecration is good. Sanctification is good. Being set apart is good. But there's something even more important than what we deny ourselves from. Watch this. He said, do you see it as nothing? Now listen, this is God talking. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I convened with the, when you came out of Egypt. So listen to this, what's that next verse say? My spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. See, there's a comparison with the way it is now and the way it was. God is saying, don't you be afraid. He said, my spirit remains with you. Let me tell you this, as long as the Holy Ghost is still involved in the service, we're on the right track. It may not be the way it was yesterday. It may not be the way it was years ago. But I'm here to tell you, the same God that moved on the day of Pentecost is able to move right now. So what I need is not a new scheme or trying to recreate. What I need is to find the Spirit. You ever been to a service where there ain't no Spirit? Eddie says they're dry as cracker juice. You ever been in that place where they're saying all the right things, but there's no witness? Everybody's saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you want to go back there? No. You know what you say? I got to get somewhere where the water's flowing. I got to get somewhere where the wind's blowing. I got to be somewhere where there is a witness and the word coming together, because when the Spirit and the word come together, there is an explosion that brings life. Can you say amen? Some people, we got people on both sides of the pendulum. They got people over here that says, all we need is the word, and we need to intellectually divide the word so that we be not ignorant. And then we got this other group over here saying, oh, let's just be fanatics. It really don't matter what the Bible says. Woohoo, let's just feel good. I've been to both sides. I'm telling you, the truth is usually right in the middle. It's the Spirit and the Word. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, because He seeketh somebody like that to worship Him. Amen? He says, my Spirit. He said, I'm with you, saith the Lord of hosts. This is where the consecration comes in. This is where the sanctification comes in. How many of you guys have been in an argument with your spouse this week? Raise your hand. You really didn't have to raise your hand. But Aaron, most of them are in your marriage class. I just thought I'd let you know. So you might want to amp that thing up. You raised your hand and you're the leader of the marriage class. Lord, help us, Jesus. If the blind lead the blind, people. When God called you, he knew you wasn't perfect. When God called me, he knew I wasn't perfect. Amen. But he said, I'm going to put something in you that's going to take care of some things because you're deficient. You can't do this on your own. You don't even know what to pray for as you ought. And he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to testify of me. Let me tell you right now, if you're in a church and they say you got the Spirit and they're not talking about Jesus, they don't have the Spirit. As a matter of fact, if you're in a church and they keep talking about the Spirit, you better get nervous, because the Spirit don't testify of the Spirit. The Spirit testifies of Jesus. Do you hear me? The Spirit don't come in giving itself any accolades. No, it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's his Spirit. And he said, when it comes, it's going to testify of me. So if you're in a church with the Spirit, it's going to testify of Jesus. Keep up the work, Aaron. Keep it up. God knew. If I quit preaching every time I preached a bad sermon, I would have quit twice. I'm joking. It's three. Man, there's a lot. I remember one time I went to this church to preach, and the next day at work, I knew, man, I messed it all up. I got in the way. It was so much of me and not enough of him, and I messed it all up. And I had people in my life that didn't care the way I felt. So at work the next day, a guy looked at me and he said, dude, listen, I really like to hear you preach, but what in the world was you doing yesterday? I said, I don't know. I said, was it that bad? He said, it was horrible. I said, it makes sense at all. He said, none. Like, I'm still asking you, what was you trying to say? I said, man, just scratch it up to a bad one. Some of y'all couldn't take that. You know what you do? They told me I couldn't sing. They told me I did horrible. Suck it up, buttercup. God called you for a reason. And sometimes you get in the way. You know what you do with that? You learn from that. I learned from that. I've learned a lot preaching all these years. See, when I first preached and it was a bad sermon, I draw it out trying to make it work. Now just get out of the saddle, pal. Just try again next week. But preachers, when they get in trouble, they preach longer because they're looking for a response to make sure they're getting somewhere. And it's miserable. Just get out of the saddle. If I need to get out of the saddle, just tell me. He put something in you, and I can't recreate yesterday's service. Here's the thing about the Spirit. It's always moving. I found this out last week. This is interesting. They say them rabbis, when they get over at the wall and they start praying, they rock. It's called shuckling. I don't know why it's called that, but they rock. And the reason they rock is they say that God is moving, and they are trying to match the movement of God, and they go back and forth. Look it up. It's pretty interesting. Oh, you do it. You shuckle too. When we're singing in service, I don't know anybody that goes. You move around. You sway back and forth. Why do you move? Because the beat? No, because sometimes there's been times when there's no music at all and I'm still moving. There ain't no beat at all. You know why? Because God is moving. So if I'm looking for him in yesterday, if I'm looking for him in Solomon's temple, if I'm looking at him, trying to find him in a past experience, I can't find him there because God is right now. He said, I'm a very present help in the time of trouble. Why am I looking back trying to find him when God wants to do something right now? Amen. Why am I trying to look ahead and find him when he wants to do something right now? I got to find the movement of the Spirit right now and align myself with the Spirit. Amen. You can clap for that. He says, be strong, O Zerubbabel, born in Babel. I'd have picked somebody else. Zerubbabel got frustrated. This foundation sets, as far as I can tell, I've added it up several different times, tried to figure it out exactly, somewhere around 14 to 16 years, this foundation just set. And y'all been complaining because we're trying to build this church for a year now. Whew. Imagine 14 years from now and we're still talking about it. Some of y'all said, I ain't going to be here in 14 years. If I don't get a seat for me and my whole family, we're out of here. We're giving you a little bit of leeway, preacher, but make it quick. Nobody has said that out loud, but I feel it. 16 years, the foundation sets. And then God shows up with a word for Zerubbabel. If I'm him, I'm really frustrated because God told me to do this. I'm trying to do this. The people that seen the glory before are mad, and now there's nothing going on. History says it took 20 years to complete this project. But after about 16 years, a prophet came that God sent to Zerubbabel. And he said, Zerubbabel, I got to tell you something. This is what God said. It's not by power. He said, it's not by might, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. He was talking about building the temple. He said, it's not by your power. Now I know why he chose Zerubbabel. Because Zerubbabel didn't know what to do. So he had to lean on the Spirit so that the Spirit could reveal to him how to do it so that God would get the glory and not Zerubbabel. See, some of y'all wasn't raised in Sunday school. I know some of you raised your hand and said your mom made you go. Some of y'all didn't. Some of y'all were heathens and you didn't have to go. But God brought you into the family. And you don't know all the verses. And you didn't color Noah's Ark. And you don't run around singing. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Can you imagine? That guy wanted an experience with Jesus. Pushed through the crowd, climbed a tree. Sold everything he had to give everything back. And you know what he's known for? Being a wee little man. I mean, how do you want to go down in history as that? Poor fella. You didn't sing those songs. You didn't color the pictures. Sometimes when people are quoting verses while the preacher's preaching, you don't know any of them. The songs, give you a hint, just watermelon. Say watermelon over and over and over. Nobody knows. Nobody knows whether you know it. Just watermelon. If you don't know the song, just watermelon it. But he chose you anyway. You know why he chose you? Because it's not about your past. He never asked for your resume anyway. Some of y'all are so doctored anyway, he wouldn't recognize you if you did send him your resume. Hey, Dave made a resume for me one time. I said, do this again. I was like, I'm way underqualified. I'm just trying to get a job at a coal mines. He made me sound like he did good. If you need one, hit him up. It's not about your resume. Listen, this is so good. It's not about what you did last week. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. But we got right now. He said, my spirit's with you. Don't you be afraid. He said, Zerubbabel, it's by my spirit. I'm building this house. I just chose to build it through you. So what do you got to do? You got to get out of the way and let the spirit take over. Are y'all hearing me? Is everybody with me? Come on, Aaron. We're going to let him go early today because he want to grill out or something. My spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Fear ye not. Next verse. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and dry land. Verse 7, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, that ain't how we used to do it. They don't make it like they used to. Thank God. Have you ever drove a car with no power steering? Thank the Lord they don't make them like they used to. Have you ever used a wringer washer? Things are dangerous. Yeah, you got your arm in it, didn't you? You know what? I could have figured that out. Just for laughs, how many people ever got their arm caught in a wringer washer? Raise your hand. Look around. Keep your arms out of those places. Thank goodness they don't make them like they used to. How many people have a button that you can start your car from the inside of your house when it's cold outside? Just push a button. Steering wheel heats up. Well, here's how they used to do it.
Yeah, great.
Who in their right mind wants to go back to that? Used to carry water around the hill to the house. Everybody. Why didn't somebody build their house next to the water? God wants to do something right now. He needs somebody to do it through because that's how he chose to do it. The kingdom is in us. The kingdom is in us. I'll tell you something that those older people had that some people don't have now is they had grit. They knew the power of prayer. They would sit down and pray until God moved. They would say, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Hey, to you younger people, you see this guy right here? Stand up, let him see you. If our hairlines were weather forecast, mine would be clear and his would be partly clearing. What is it? Listen to this. 30 years ago. I've known this guy for 30 plus years. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me. He's already had a hip replacement. You're going to get there too. Let me tell you what we used to do. He can attest to this. We'd meet at the church and we'd pray all night long. All night. 9 o'clock the next morning, we're still praying. Why am I telling you this? Because you need to put down that controller. You say, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You know how I know you can? Because I had a teenage boy. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm trying to sleep. You can choose I don't care. You're not going to be a gamer. Get that out of your head. You're not going to make millions of dollars. Get it out of your head. Go to sleep and get a job. No, not me. Not me. I'm good. I'm real good. Yeah, I'm real good. Can I tell a man, that guy back there was going to be a gamer. You know where he's at? Running a loader. I can't stay up all night and pray, but you can stay up all night and play. Listen to me. I'm meddling right now. This is kind of fun. This ain't even a sermon. This is just meddling. If you're a young man in here and you're married and you're up half the night playing video games, you need to get your priorities straight. Amen. That's just from your pastor, because I love you. We'd pray all night, wouldn't we? And we didn't just do it once, did we? Man, we had some experience in that prayer room, didn't we? Some things were strange, wasn't they? It was more exciting than video games, wasn't it? I remember one day we heard something crazy. Yeah, I'm not making this up. Me and him's out there on the porch. What was that? Remember that? Man, a lot can go on if we yield to the Spirit. So we got to get our priorities right. Because he said, I want to move through you. I want to build something in you. You're the temple. I want to build the temple. What are you doing to feed the temple? I need somebody to step out and say, you know what? I want to turn some things around. I want to recommit. I want to rededicate. Yeah, there's some things I need to lay down. There's some things I need to push aside. But I want the Spirit of God moving in my life. And this is double-sided. This is a double-sided altar call. Because if you come up here, they may think you're trying to lay something down. But if you come up here, what you're saying is, I want the Spirit to move in my life like it's never moved before. So if you don't come, what you're saying is, I don't want the Spirit to move in my life like never before. So either way, we're going to look at you strange. So you might as well yield to the Spirit. Give me a young man. Give me a young man that God's speaking to right now. There we go. There we go. It says, you know what? I want the Spirit to move. Ah, come on, y'all. Listen, if he just hit a walk-off home run for your local baseball team, is that what you would have did? Andrew, it don't matter what happened yesterday. It don't matter what happened last week. What matters is right now, right now, right now, right now, right now.